and welcome to episode 298 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me as always are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The man who not only has won a tribute press, but he's got something very interesting coming up, and he may be the Antichrist. It's Tony Esmond.
Do you notice how I was kind to you when you did your sort of voice actor cough before we began? I didn't rip you about it.
Do you mean you shut the fuck up?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's you when being you went, nice, not saying that anything.
When you went,
I didn't go, don't make it. That wasn't last time how I cough. And I know because that's what I edit out every week. and this week, we're also very pleased to be joined by comic creator, cartoonist, and the brains behind the series, Stan and Jack, which we've talked about a couple of times on this show, Pete Dorey. Hello, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
Hi, Pete. Good.
Well. It's a voice we know well because Pete always joins us on the drinking draws.
Yeah. I do. And actually get very drunk and don't draw much. But
I always do wonder if that's a little glass of Ribena or a red wine sometimes. I watch you...
It's always red wine, Tony. Always.
Excellent.
That's the quote for the week.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yep. You've got a drink when you make comics. Now, yes, and if you're out there and you like, seriously, the drinking draws are good fun. So, and we should have one coming up in another few weeks, I believe, isn't it?
They tend to sort of start well, and then we talk a little bit about art, don't we? And then they sort of just become awful, just jokes constantly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I tell you what, you're doing it a little bit of a disservice there because some people might think, oh, God, I've seen like one of these episodes. I'm never going to that because they terrify me. there's a lot of sort of comic sort of history and artwork. And one thing I love about it is why I'm just, you know, I'm very quiet on the normally because I'm trying to doodle and I can't multitask. But, you know, there's lots of people like showing their comic art books and things like that. Yeah. And it's fantastic. Yeah. And I'm always like making notes of like different sort of creators to look up, and
I like a bit of what did we buy this week. We always have a look at, or this month, don't we? We always have a look at what nice hardbacks are out and trades and stuff like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's welcome to all. So stay tuned, Gobby.
I was just going to say, if anybody does want to join in and feels a bit nervous, please don't, because everybody's very supportive.
Mm. Yeah, they are, aren't they? And you don't have to say anything. You can just come in and not say anything if you want.
Yeah. And one day we'll have like a huge Wembley Stadium like drink and draw, won't we?
We'll actually have a real life drink and draw.
One day in the future.
Yeah. Maybe this year. Maybe.
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 Yeah. Maybe tomorrow. I'll learn to settle down. Oh no, it's a Littlest Hobo.
That's
anyway,
from last week.
That's a callback. Callback joke there.
Yeah.
And do you know what else is a callback?
No. Do you know who doesn't call back? It's Comic House. Sorry, Pete and the Comic House gang. Because
these comics are on Comic House, aren't they, Pete?
I've just got £1.25-£1.35 from Comic House.
Nice.
Yes. So out. I'm not complaining.
Making it rain.
making money, baby.
But you should all check out Comic House. They are an indie comic marketplace from the UK that loves comics from all over the world, especially self-published stuff. There's a huge selection of titles on the database. If you self-published, you can list your book on there and start selling your wares and just get it out to a whole new audience. And we talk about it every week, but there's a digital app with a huge library of comics on there. It's like Netflix for comics, basically. Only £3 a month subscription, which is cheaper than your standard digital comic now. Which every week I say that I want to rant about it, but I'm not going to be that guy anymore.
We usually do.
But for that you get access to an enormous library, such as Dan.
Well, there's a whole slew of I mentioned this last week, but we've got the Misadventures of Adam West. There's over like a dozen issues of that title on there. I'll have to check that out because it must be relevant to today,
isn't it? As well, might be, of course.
Yeah,
in a bit. Yeah,
It's the Misadventures of Adam West. I don't think it's quite accurate to. Is real life, or maybe it is. Maybe that he did get up to time traveling adventures. we've got Snake Claws Volume 1, Issue 5, Rumble at the Drunken Prawn, Time Fracture. We've got a couple of Commando titles, Sladen's Promise and Red Snow. And we've got Penned Gwyn's Coincidence, a fresh upload, ready to go.
Yes.
So go check that out.
He's got a Kickstarter dropping soon as well, Al. keep your eyes out for.
Yeah,
keep yeah, nice
out.
One.
Keep your eyes out for that because we'll shout about it when the time comes. Yeah, so for all that, like I say, only £3 a month. There's a 14-day free trial. And you, like us, can dive headfirst into an amazing world of small press and independent comics. Because once you get involved in that, you don't go back, basically. That's what we've learned after the 6-odd years of doing this. Oh, God. 6 years. But thank you to comichouse.com.
Yes. Nicely done. Lick as fuck again.
Thank you. I'm running on fumes.
This. Yeah. That was a lockdown edition for a year.
I know. No. It's crazy.
I'm glad we got to see each other briefly, didn't we?
Yeah.
When it was sort of eased slightly, wasn't it? We had a curry, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't break the rules.
Yeah.
No, obviously not. Yeah. No.
Like
some people.
We never break rules. We only break hearts and wind.
Hymens.
But no, it's not good. Look, we've got an actual genuine topic that we're going to talk about this
week.
Yeah.
I'm into this.
Comics, as you know, if you're listening to this, then comics are a very personal thing to you. You love them. But, you know, whether comics are, you know, whether it's the comics you like or you make comics that are personal to you or, you know, the fads, the trends, there's always something that I think comics is a medium, much like music. I think it's equal to music in the fact that, like, it's a talking point, isn't it? You know, it can bond to a person, and sometimes you can tell a lot about a person by the comics they like.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not making any judgments. But also,
Vampirella.
Yeah. But also, comics can be very personal when you're talking about personal stories. Now, so we're going to talk about biographical comics this week. Now, we have not too long ago talked about like some historical and factual comics, like when we're talking about Kent State and the like. But this week we thought we'd focus a little bit on autobiographical, certainly with like the works that Pete's involved in as well. There's lots of different types of sort of biographical comics. Now, I know when you say biographical, that much like any sort of genre, could completely switch people off, couldn't it? Some people
sound a bit dry, can't it?
Yeah. And I know we put a poll up on the Twitter this week and had some fascinating sort of responses. And also, how many votes did we get down in total?
The classic 69.
Nice.
Capped at 69, my friend.
Nice. but the responses were quite interesting.
Loads of responses from loads of people we've never heard of before, as well, I'd like to point out.
Yeah.
There was
people quite passionate about it, aren't they?
Yeah, the way the poll turned out was surprising. I didn't think it was going to turn out that way. And yeah, it did. We can kind of get stuck into it, what we think of that.
I mean, to kick us off, I mean, one of the responses we had was Chloe, Thought Bubbles, Chloe Green. She obviously just told us about some of the books she loved, but she also said they're my favourite genre to read and one that I'd like to do if ever I get round to it. Now, here's the question to start us off. What kind of creator do you think does it take to create a biograph? Because I, myself, wouldn't know where to start, or I don't know if I'm capable of doing some sort of, whether it be a biography about a person or something quite personal. I don't know if I've got it in me. What do you think it takes to write these sort of books?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Pete, because you're doing an auto bio in a way,
sort
aren't
of,
you?
Sort of. I'm doing a thing called The Kids from Wreck Road, which is a strip that me, my friend Dave, and my other friend Sean Phillips used to do when we were like 12, 13, and it was just us fucking about having adventures with Spidey. Something like we did like a sort of mad parodies. We did Star Wars and we did The Magnificent Seven. So them two have been nagging me for ages to bring it back and do it properly. Mm-hmm. And the way I thought about it, I'm like you guys, I wouldn't really know where to start with an autobiographical thing.
Right.
So, I mean, what I do with Stan and Jack is I take real people and then make them my sort of character. So it will be sort of Sean. And if you know Sean, it will be sort of him. But we'll still be fucking about having adventures with Spidey and going into other dimensions and...
Yeah, you give everything a little cosmic twist, don't you, sometimes, is the way I see it. Yeah.
So rather than that kind of dry, this is what we got up to when we were 12, because who fucking cares? That's the way I'm going to go with it. Not to go down on anybody who does want to do that, but I wouldn't really know where to start there either.
I think it also, there needs to be, no matter how much we want to learn from, you know, that we can learn from these books or something, but they're also a form of entertainment. Entertainment sometimes glosses it as something like, ha-ha, funny. No, entertainment doesn't have to, you know, it encompasses all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Movies, do you know what I mean? Like when you see the Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, you know, you could say that's a biography film, but also there's the Hollywood side of it, you know, the bits that they've made so it's enjoyable to watch, you know, a conversation that may not have been as dramatic, you can add a bit more too. Go on,
I think there's a big difference between biography and autobiography. I think from the purpose of why I buy it. So a biography of, I think we talked about one last year about Philip K. Dick out of MBN, MBN Books. And I really like that because I'm interested in him. I want to find out about his history and his story.
Yeah.
And it was done with a bit of flair, you know, a bit of sort of psychedelic-y kind of dream sequences and stuff like that. So I was looking forward to that. But autobiography, I go into it for a different way because I'm looking for the personal. Does that seem weird?
Yeah,
like the internal monologue of someone transferred onto a page. I'm put off by comics that are overly self-indulgent, I suppose, in that area.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you really have to have something to say. I think, like you're saying with your story, you're fighting Spider-Man. I kind of, and that it's got the right, you know, I kind of dig that. But if it's just you and your cat, I'm not digging it, man. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, I'm the same. I think you've got to be. I mean, just going back a step, one of the great things about comics is we were equating it to music. Can you name any comic fan who's never wanted to do their own comic? We all want to, don't we? It's something specific about comics that we all want to do it, even more than music. But I think it takes a real level of writing skill, not necessarily artistic skill, but writing skill to make an ordinary life interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we're not all Hemingway, are we? We're not all fighting all the Spain. You know, that's the thing.
No, we're not. I mean, the classic, obviously, the king of it is Harvey Pekar, which I think is amazing. His stuff, because it was just an ordinary life. But I do feel that's maybe given everybody permission to think, oh, well, my life's as interesting as his. Well, it's not, and maybe you're not as good a writer as he was. You know,
I think that is because you can have an absolutely like an amazing life full of like adventures and mishaps, but the ability to translate that into the comic, that's a separate, separate skill.
And that's why sometimes, like, you know, these comic creators, you know, when you're reading these books about, you know, the Marvel comics, like when it all kicked off and stuff, you just think, my God, you know, these are like rock stars. But these like creators probably wouldn't be able to tell these stories themselves. But down the line, you can get a creator that will take those stories and be able to make a comic out of them. You know, it takes a certain creator to tell a certain sort of story sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is there any particular, other than Harvey Pekar, does anyone want to mention autobios that they've really liked over the years?
I liked Howard Cruise's stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen any of that.
I haven't read it, but I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, amazing cartoonist. Who's the other one? Struggling, to be honest.
I'm going to say, well, Fingerman, obviously, because he's my buddy. I think he's a genius around it. There's a book called Invisible Ink, which is about Bill Griffiths' mother. Have you ever read that?
No, that sounds great.
Bill Griffiths' mother had an affair with a famous cartoonist, and it's all about what happened. Playboy by Chester Brown as well, about his masturbating. Yeah. I think.
And
paying for it as well, about his life with prostitutes, is an interesting angle.
I know the book I recommended last week was a very sort of, you know, it's very personal, very autobiographical, and it was also a very interesting sort of it's a creator creating for themselves, not for an audience. That's how I read it. It was a window into someone else's life rather than look at me, which I think can be a very important thing with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. I think sometimes when people are doing autobiographical things, it can it sometimes if they don't handle it well, it's a little bit look at me, which is that's when it fails.
Totally agree, man.
It should be that sort of like that moment, like someone steps into your life for that moment and reads a few pages and like, wow, you know, and steps out.
Yeah.
Well, stepping back to the results of the poll. I put a poll up for, I think it was only for 24 hours, and it was like, do you want to create like an autobiography comic? Have you ever felt like you wanted to or not? What put you off? And on the poll, we had three options. I have created one, I plan to, and I have no interest in doing so. I have created one got 36.2%, and so did the no interest in doing so is the 36.2%.
Okay.
A complete split. And that, I think as a subject, it shows that not many people want to create that comic for themselves. I guess the element,
do you think that's the element of what you don't want to put yourself out there? Do you think we keep the person, we should be keeping it sometimes, not that you'd know it from Twitter, to be fair, but the we need to keep the personal to the personal, really, don't we? We don't want to put ourselves completely out there.
I think that completely. I mean, I think you have to have a real sense of ego to do that, to go, this is my life, read about it, everybody. But also, you do want to keep stuff private. I mean, most of us hide behind our characters, don't we?
And sometimes...
Our public faces,
Sometimes you've got to be bloody brave to do it.
Some
of these ones that, you know, these classic ones that...
Can I just throw in there, Vince, AJ Dunn goes in waves?
Exactly.
That's a
prime example of it to me,
You know, especially when someone is recounting either a trauma or tragedy or, you know, that... They can be really profound reads, and I say profound isn't a word that you get that often with comics. I think a lot of people would probably like to throw that word around a lot, but how many times has something had a real profound effect on you as you read it? And I think something like In Waves is perfect. It's a perfect example of that. And sometimes, like when we see these creators. You know, these classic books, and it is a window into their life. And sometimes they're fucking it's not a glamorous thing. Some of the classic ones are like, Jesus, this person's got a horrible life.
I mean, I'm a great believer even bad sex is good sex, but there's a lot of bad sex going on in these comments.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Like, do you want like people to know about your life, or you're just not interested in? You don't think your life's an interesting enough to tell people about you? It's kind of like that thing with comedians. They can go into a scenario and then engineer it that something happens to them. They can make a funny story out of it. And the same way with a comic artist, you'd have something happen in your life and you'd be able to make a similar observations and spin it. So it is.
I think that's amazing. I think you're right there, D. I think sometimes you need telling a funny story or a funny comic about an incident that's happened. You know, you could tell a funny story about the time us lot were in the pub and I shit my pants or something. That's fine. But if it continues into, and then I went to bed and then I got up and had a coffee, you know, it's like that, then it becomes dull. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a line there almost where let's tell a funny story about something that happened. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's hard to say this works and this doesn't, because there's always going to be examples completely sort of blow that out of the water. But yeah, it's a tough one. I don't like, there was a phase we went through the small press when people were endlessly like posting stuff about how negative their life was. And it's like, I can only read so much of that, man. I like watching documentaries on sort of like killers or something like that. But I can't watch those fucking programs all day, every day. It's so depressing. But
I'll tell you who the king of it for me is Eddie Campbell.
Okay. Yeah.
I really enjoy his day to day because he builds up this sort of nostalgic community and friends and incidents and stuff. And it becomes an interesting soap opera to follow, I think. Mm. I quite like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pages of it as well.
I tell you what, I've mentioned this on a couple of episodes. I think I mentioned it last week, but Sam Webster's Autism Anxiety. That's very kind of...
insightful, yeah.
Yeah, it just tells you exactly what he's going through. And it's nothing... I've not had any exposure to people with autism or the condition. I couldn't tell you anything about it. So reading Sam's comic, and he's very frank and forthright with what he's gone through and is going through. And it's kind of made me think, okay.
Yeah.
It's got a message to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he makes you realise how it is for some people.
Yeah. And he's...
and work like that, doesn't it? It's important because not only is it insightful for people who don't have these sort of conditions and stuff, but there, for those people that do, it's a sign of like, oh, someone else has this as well. I mean, it can work on.
I actually think his comics came alive for me when, I mean, he did his sci-fi stuff and that's all cool, but his comics came alive for me when he started making it the more personal thing.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I got a window into that, to be fair.
When he did the bus thing, what was that called?
Yeah, I hate everyone on the bus or something.
Yeah, that did. Yeah, that did really well. I mean, like, that people were loving that. So,
we like to be angry, right? Angry. That's always a good thing to do.
But it's always good when someone looks back at something they've done in the past and then says, "Oh, I was wrong. I've grown from that. I was so fucking stupid." And Sam has got that in his work. And I guess, do you always look back at yourself and stuff you've done in the past and think, "Oh, what a fucking idiot. I shouldn't have done that."
Every single day. Yeah. I literally make a noise. Sometimes I walk down the road and I remember something stupid I've done and it literally comes out verbally. I make a noise. I've done so many ridiculous things in my life.
What do you mean? What's the noise that comes out?
Well, I think I've done something like, oh, God. Like that, literally. Like that.
I thought it'd be something funnier like, bah!
The only trick I've have of when you get like your brain decides it wants to fuck you over and like remind you of something embarrassing you did is to absolutely turn into the skid and just sort of say, yeah, I did, and just play for the scenario in your head, go, yeah, that's what happened, and then hopefully it would never have power over me again. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's times you think, oh, fuck,
yeah,
I did that.
Here is the mind killer, my friend.
Yeah.
Can I bring up the thorny subject then of Crumb?
Go for it.
That's it's not all, is it? But there's certain autobiographical moments in that, aren't there? Let's face it.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
Went from kind of like getting like quite the fan group, and then more recently he's become sort of vilified for doing
what is it for? Is it objectification? Is that the kind of the stance? I don't know.
I think so. I couldn't quite work it. I know he was kind of like, obviously like back in the day he was a darling, and then he kind of like, he's fallen out of favor. Perhaps it is because of the objectification.
I think that documentary didn't help either. I mean, he doesn't come across as likable in any way in that movie, does he?
Well, he comes across as the bloke you'd avoid. And he likes women to give him piggybacks.
Yeah. That's very much evident in his fucking books as well.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah, he's big into that.
He's like, he's thick girls, doesn't he? Sort of manhandling him.
Well, I think we've all been there.
You kind of have to go back in the 60s. Yeah, that was groundbreaking and nobody was doing it, but please stop now.
Yeah, we kind of
done it.
I like his line. I'll be honest with you.
I do too. Yeah.
I think his art has been an influence on a lot of creators in terms of like,
and his honesty, I think, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff he talks about. Like, fuck me, man. I would never say anything like that.
Yeah.
Not
that I'd do anything like that, but, you know.
Well, I suppose the next question then is from that, from Crumb, who, you know, whose life was autobiographical, but part of him, and isn't this true for everyone, nearly, isn't there a bit of you in everything you write?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 And the one I'm thinking of is Dave Sim.
Yeah.
Oh dear! It's such a shame,
You can pick up those kind of the way you can tell what the character, the writer, and maybe artist is thinking, and way they fall a certain way by the creative content they put out. The more they do, the easier it is to kind of pick out. And sometimes people have gone absolutely wrong and said, "Oh, Joe Bloggs, he falls way to the left." And then you look into his posts or whatever, and he's like, oh, actually, he's on the fucking right. That's one of the things about social media, isn't it? That now there's no illusion about the way someone thinks. You can just go look at their timeline and...
Look at Steranko this week, you know.
That was another one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Everybody's realised what he's all about,
I'd missed that. What was that?
He is about as far right as it's possible to be. He's a Trump fan. He's out there calling it the Chinese virus. He's a racist. He's, you name it. He's an absolute arse.
Comics, aren't they comics? Fun?
Yeah, and he's got a hell of a syrup. That's what I will say. He wears that syrup with pride.
Because he posted up a picture this week, and I sent it, tweeted it on because I thought, fuck me, that's great. I think it was Batman he did.
Right.
I might have been wrong.
Oh, he's a hell of an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's groundbreaking. He's one of those artists who's done... The comparison of the effect he's had on the industry against the amount of pages he's done is pretty incredible when you think he hasn't done that a huge amount. Is it like 30 issues or something like that he did, didn't he?
I don't think it's even that.
Right.
Fucking hell.
I mean, he did Nick Fury in the 60s, and it's amazing, and everybody should own it.
Yeah. Captain America did
Captain
something.
Captain America. That's what a couple of graphic novels. That was it.
That Nick Fury one's one of those seminal comics runs, isn't it?
Yeah. I always see him. He's always at New York behind that table that sells books that have got, you know, like the Shadow books that have got his covers on. And he's always in the same sort of grey suit that the jacket is a little bit short and makes him look like he fights bulls. You know?
Well, apparently he lives in some log cabin up in the hills somewhere, and he goes running at dawn, and he's vegan, and, you know.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, there'd be an interesting book to write about him, but he's not a very likable person.
I mean, but that kind of makes him I would read a book about him rather than just somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you want someone who's kind of had a life.
The subject matter. Here's an interesting question, because obviously when it comes to biographies and stuff, and certainly it ties back into what you were saying earlier, Dan, about people love crime and criminals and serial killers. People can't get enough of someone that kills someone else.
I knew the way we're going to sell our books, lads. Right.
But
takes a sip of coffee.
You know. Yeah. But do you think it's those sort of those dark personalities, and, you know, the that are sometimes more attractive to someone who's going to make a biographical book about another figure? Obviously you have to be interested in the figure's life in order to make these books, otherwise you're just doing it for the cash. But certainly, you know the amount of books that have been made about, like, you know,
I think there's a fashion. I think things come in and out of fashion as to who is interesting. I think for a while we had like the beat poets. Do you remember all the sort of gonzo poets and stuff like that? It was quite popular, wasn't it? And then we had musicians, so we had like you say, we've had a few books about sort of cool musicians and stuff. At the moment, there's a lot of books about different communities, you know, that are different to ours. I think there's a book just about come out through Dargod about, you know, Guatemalan family and all this sort of thing. And I think people want to invest a little bit and find out about different communities, different races, different, you know. I think there's a bit of that at the moment.
I mean, I think that's, if you know, that's a trend that should just grow and grow and grow, you know, because whatever informs people going forward.
I think as well, politics is a current biography. If you look at there, Peter Bagg just did 3 books on feminist icons, didn't he? How many comics out there are about Trump as well? There's been a lot of that, hasn't there?
A lot, but most of them are parody kind of titles. Or it's weird because those kind of things got such a limited shelf life. They're virtually out of date the moment they fucking get in people's hands.
It becomes like the novel. I mean, I read a lot of political biographies and stuff, and autobiographies, and you see the amount that came out during US 2020.
Yeah.
I was having to, because I have to write up stuff about these people, and I was having to read like a couple of books a week just to keep up with the news stories that were coming out. We've had a little flurry, and I think that around 2020, I think the Trump thing, you know, we had a couple of comics featuring Kamala Harris come out, didn't we? There's a company, we've talked about them before, Tidal Wave Productions, and they're kind of the kind of the legacy of rock and roll comics that we've also talked about.
They're the ones who do that Adam West comic on Comic House.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, they do a series called Fame, and it's whoever's in the news at the time.
Gotcha.
So Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, you know, Nick Jonas, but they also do a political thing as well. So, I mean, they've done comics about Princess Diana and Maggie Thatcher.
Whoa, okay.
And they did one about who's that woman?
What were they? Like a crime fighting duo or something? Is that,
I think
or
so.
Or were they separate books?
I don't know, separate books. Oh. And who was that? Who was the porn star?
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. So they did a great one about. It's actually quite a good comic about Stormy Daniels. I think she helped write it or something.
I only literally know Stormy Daniels, her name, and the fact that she slept with Trump. That's
seen a porn film, and I watch a lot of porn. I've never seen her in a porn film.
That kind of shocks me, Tony. You haven't seen that.
No, I've seen a lot of porn.
Do us a favour, check it out, and then come back next week. See what you think.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll turn the audio off and do what I watch while we're...
We talked about Durst Bat Durst Dharma. My Friend Dump. And that's a fascinating book that kind of very insightful, but it's also got that the author's take and projection. I doubt if someone with could do that kind of story justice.
Because he knew him, didn't he? That's the important thing. That's the angle he's come at. I think you have to come at it, an interesting angle for me.
But he shows the kind of the monstrous sort of aspect of it, and there's a lot of that kind of stuff that I feel like they don't focus too much on how horrific these people are. I know there's a kind of like the groupie things with kind of serial killers and like people lust after them, but when you look at the stuff they've done, it's absolutely fucking monstrous. It's stomach turning. It's like that. I watched that documentary of Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez on Netflix, and it's just, oh my god. But then I've read comic book stuff where it's kind of like it makes quite light of it, and you're like, you need to kind of handle this quite carefully. And I guess has anyone done like a comic where the estate's not agreed? And
I think every single comic from Rock and Roll Comics, every single comic from Tidal Wave Comics is they don't. In fact, they get quite litigious with them, I think.
Well, okay.
You
said once in Looking, do you remember? So, Michael Jackson, is that £3? I'm born, now I'm in the Jackson 5, now I'm doing bad. Like, the £3.
Now I'm dangling kids off balconies. What was it that made you, because you're on issue 5, I'm right in thinking you're drawing issue 5 at the moment of Stan and Jack, is that right, Pete?
Yes, I am, yeah.
So what pushed you into doing... And then you come at it at a different angle, don't you, as well? What made you choose them as subjects and come at it at that angle, if you see what I mean?
Firstly, it was such an obvious idea. I couldn't believe nobody had done it. You know, why wouldn't you do a comedy comic about Stanley and Jack Kirby and all the rest of the bullpen? It's just there to be done, isn't it?
Yeah.
And secondly, everything I do is me trying to recapture him with the 70s. It's just me going... I just want comics to be like that again. All right, I'll better do them then. I mean, that sounds terrible, but it's partially true. It is. I mean, like you guys, like everybody, I just go, well, no one's doing this and I want to read it, so I better do it then.
Did you want to give the listeners who haven't read it just a little taste of what happens in the first couple? Because it's not what you'd expect, isn't it? It's not like a dry story of the bullpen. There's all sorts of things happening in this, aren't there?
No, that's right. I mean, I think you said to me, Tony, you were a bit unsure when you picked it up, like, oh, is this going to annoy me? Is it going to be? Which is a totally fair reaction to have. But, I mean, I always describe
it. Didn't, instantly. Yeah.
I always describe it as the that old issue of What If, where the bullpen were the FF.
I love that issue.
But played for laughs, so as if it's like a, as if it's like a mad or a cracked parody of the bullpen.
That's good.
And it's Stanley and Jack Kirby, and they go off into another dimension where Steve Ditko's there and Gil Kane's there and everybody's there, and they have to find out who's captured them and what's going on.
But you lay on it a bit of history as well, and just little flair bits that made me giggle. Like whenever you see Gil Kane, he's always sort of in extreme proportions, you know, reaching towards the camera as if it was a Gil Kane drawing. You know,
up his nostrils, because those are good jokes that everybody's going to get. I mean, that was the that was the only thing that, and like the Vince Coletta running joke where everybody slags Vince Coletta off, and that was the stuff I thought, well, is anybody other than me and Dave and Sean going to get this? But there's enough of us old geeks.
There's a few of us out there, aren't there?
A few of us still about, and even some younger people still like them and go, you know, some people go, well, who's that? Oh, well, this is George Tusker. Let me tell you about George Tusker, you know, whatever. So it's sort of a stupid history of comics in a weird kind of way.
Vince Coletta really shoddily inked?
He's half rubbed out.
He will be when I do him. He hasn't turned up yet. It's just every episode somebody slags him off. You know, like I think in the second issue, Stan says, "What's the worst thing that could happen now?" And Wally Wood says, "Being inked by Vince Coletta." I don't know.
But these people were absolute characters, weren't they? I mean, Wally Wood. You could do a graphic novel on him easily, just him, couldn't you? You know.
Yeah, you absolutely could. I mean, you know, he had a terrible end. You know, he hated everybody.
Didn't he live above a... Was it in... not Sunset Strip. It was someone like that. He lived above a shop or somewhere, didn't he?
I think it was Sunset Strip, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Towards the end of his life, he was doing porn comics. And I think it was his publisher that found his body as well.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's... The thing with me is that, you know, I love those biographies. I love those stories and those histories.
Yeah.
So, you know, you ask me where they all drank in 1977, I can tell you. You know, it's pathetic, really. But,
you know, when we love them, we were talking a couple of weeks with the dude who wrote a book on Bill Finger. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I read and listen to those talking books all the time. They're just, they really capture an era that we're sort of lacking a bit now, aren't we? The real personalities of these people, which were brought out by Stan, that Stan played on to sell the comics with, you know?
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, you know, there are artists and writers that I admire now, but they're just people who are very talented. Whereas to me, people like Wally Wood and Gil Kane were gods when I was a child.
Yeah, John Buscema. Yeah,
John Buscema.
Yeah.
Yeah, giants walk the earth in John's case, literally. So that's the angle I come from. But it's, you know, it's a fun celebration, is what it is. At heart, it's just a silly romp.
Have you had anyone come back at you and say, "Well, that isn't right"? I think you'll find, you know, it's hard with your comic, I know, because they're all in space and all sorts of things, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think. I think there was somebody said something about Gil Kane. I can't even remember. I know somebody on Facebook, and this will be on my fucking tombstone. Somebody on Facebook said there is no reason for this comic to exist. I'll be the judge of that. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, you need to put that on the Paul quote on the back of the next one.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Oh yeah, that's a great quote.
And it was somebody on a Kirby fan page. I mean, those fucking Facebook groups, they're just horrendous, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you put anything on there that isn't Kirby between 1965 and 1985, they go, "You can't say that, you can't put it on here." Yeah, so this guy said, "There's no reason for this comic to exist." Okay. I'll be the judge of that. Yeah.
Well, we need a bit of open source research and we'll find out where he lives, give him a kick.
Or if it's to wind you up, that bloke, there is a reason.
Yeah. Just getting you to say that has made my day, mate. There you go.
I just thought it was funny. It's like, what a stupid fucking thing to say about anybody's comic, you know?
Good. Are there any other comics you could recommend or books you could recommend that you've had? Have you done much research? You've gone into, I'm guessing you probably know most of it anyway, do you, Pete?
Yeah, I know most of it. I mean, I was saying the other day, that stuff about Gil Kane or calling everybody my boy, that he did. Because he couldn't remember people's names. And I read that in a Chaikin documentary. I'm just kind of eager to get everybody put in it because I want to put Chaikin in it. I'm going to put Frank Thorne and Wendy Pinney in the next one. That's number five is going to be the sword and sorcery one.
Are we going to have them in costume or?
Yeah, absolutely. Have them in costume. Yeah.
Yeah. She was quite the foxy lady, wasn't she, Wendy?
She was.
She still is. Let's face it. But yeah.
Is it your hope that when like people read about these, because they become like characters of another sort when you have them?
Yeah.
But is it your hope that after seeing these people in your comic, that people were like, what were they like in real life? To go forth and find out about them, because you know all of these people are obviously super fascinating. That's why you want to incorporate them into the books, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I almost kind of think I will do a collection at some... When we have cons again, my plan is to do a trade
with
the first few issues. I almost feel like putting an index in the back and going, oh, if you haven't read any Wendy Pinney, this is what you should read.
That's great.
That would be fantastic.
I think that'd be, I think that's a marvellous idea. Yeah, yeah.
I think I should do that, really, shouldn't I? Because you never know. Some kid might read it and go, this is really funny, but I've no idea who these people are. Well, here you go.
I mean, I work at a comic book company, and there's people at that comic book company who wouldn't know who anyone in that book is apart from Stan.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. I had a conversation with a designer once there and mentioned 2000 AD, and they said, what's that? And I went, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And they said, what is 2000 AD? And I said, I think I might have mansplained slightly.
Oh, did you clean up?
Yeah. After pummeling them, yeah. But that, but see, that's surprising. I mean, you know, we're doing stuff like this, the lot of us, and that really does surprise me, because when I was a kid and reading all the stuff of the people I'm celebrating, well, I'll give you an example. Like when Bernie Wrightson came out, and Bernie, in interviews, was constantly talking about Graham Ingalls, and I was like, who's Graham Ingalls? Right. Let's find out. Let's buy some ECs.
Yeah.
I don't get people who don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think with a sort of... oh, God. I'm going to talk generations now. Not Star Trek. but I think, you know, I can understand that some sort of newer readers won't necessarily, you know, people who are just getting into comics, for instance, they're not going to know 2000 AD because 2000 AD aren't, I mean, when I was a kid, it was almost front and centre on my newsagent shelf. Do you know what I mean? It was, yeah. It was there.
Yeah.
And it's not anymore. And like, you know.
I mean, Vince, you're the most understanding man I know. Do you know what I mean? You're the most reasonable man I know. But this lady was designing a science fiction comic at the time. Do you know what I mean?
If you, I mean, it helps to find out about things. but saying that, you know, I'm not going to crucify anyone for, I mean, not knowing about it. If they don't want to know about it, I mean, the whole point is like, I mean, that's the point of this show is like, what's that? Let me find out about it.
I just think they would be so enriched by knowing about it. They would find angles and they would enjoy it. Yeah, and that's what we're all about, spreading the comics love, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, I think partly of that is. Can I just change track here slightly, gents,
and ask you the
following question. Who would you want to tell a biography of your life? So what creator, let's say they living or dead, past, present, who out there would you want to do a biographical comic about?
Man,
you?
That's tough.
That's really tough.
That's interesting, because sometimes you just think, oh, I'd love this artist or this writer to do it. But what autobiographical stuff have they done? Would they be able to do it? Do you know what I mean? You know. I think I immediately thought Frank Cho.
Well, you do a lot of shagging, don't you?
Yeah, and he'd make me look good. Yeah. Well, lovely bit of cheesecake.
My first thought was Steve Gerber, because I think he'd do a great biography of anybody. Because it'd all be interior. Because there's nothing interesting about my life. Fucking hell, it's all interior.
Until tonight, Pete.
Until
this is where it all kicks off.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know. That's a real tough one.
Yeah.
Well, would it sell? Is the other question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like later years Ditko.
Okay.
Because when he was completely off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes for a lot of. I want to say your average Joe lives, if you know what I mean. You know, whenever we think, oh, no, it could never be a thing about my life. I think there can be a comic about anyone's life. And I think the best type of comic for that is the newspaper strip type comic, the four panel. Because we may think, oh, my life's so boring. There's probably one moment in your day where something funny happened or someone said something. And that is the strip. Do you know what I mean? That's the moment. A lot of these ones, these classic sort of newspaper strips, they're quite autobiographical in themselves. You know, even fucking
George and Lynn was definitely based on my life.
I think it's that.
I thought you were Hagar the Horrible.
Oh, that's true as well. Yeah,
that skill of picking moments out and then have that like make a database of them ready to kind of go.
Yeah,
I remember when my kid said something funny and
I think that's why it works so well. I mean. There's a lot of like, especially with web comics, you know, that are the modern newspaper strip in some ways. A lot of these sort of, like, you know, Instagram comics and stuff. And there's some ones I read that are hilarious, and they clearly they must be something like their kids said something stupid.
But that whole my kid said something funny, like every parent has experienced that.
Yeah,
I just kind of think we need something a bit more original.
I tell you what, sometimes.
Yeah, it's back to the cat thing again, isn't it? I really don't want to stamp on anybody else's work, but I just think there's a bit too much of that stuff flying about, isn't there?
There is. Yeah.
I mean, generally, like kind of everyone has, well, not everyone has kids, but you know, you get kids, you interact with them, but like, your own kids are fucking the best thing since sliced bread, but to everyone else it's a bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, you said that before, I remember, Dee. Yeah,
it's true. It's true.
And I think that's sometimes like when creators make them characters, do you know what I mean? So I think how I mean it is, they're not, it's not a strictly autobiographical comic, but just say you're writing, you're making a comic about a family. And you can use things from your life, every day-to-day life. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, they said something funny. So it's, and I think that's how some creators get around that whole, oh, God, I don't care about your, you know, like a lot of readers are like, I don't care about your life. Because it becomes the family, you know, it becomes the characters that people like. And the characters become a conduit, that's my word of the week, for you know, your personal experiences. Doesn't it? Like, you know, this sort of like, oh, this thing, terrible thing happened to this person. It might have happened to the creator. You don't know, because you know, it's that sort of thing. I think creators, when you create comics, there's so many avenues for you to explore.
It's how it's done, man. Yeah. It really is how it's done.
Yeah.
And like, that the,
and sometimes it works really well, and sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
The prime example of that is Pete's book. You know, if it was just. Yeah. You know, Stan and Jack's relationship probably was mostly over the phone for a lot many years, and just them phoning each other wouldn't be very interesting. But if you send them into space and start fighting people, I'm right behind that. You know, that's brilliant.
And I made Jack like a cross between Ben Grimm and Nick Fury, and made Stan loudmouthed and cowardly. So you've got fun there anyway, haven't you?
Yeah.
In terms of kids strips, apart from Peanuts, which I think gets away with being sweet and twee. The only kids strips I like are the ones where they're like proper kids, like Calvin and Hobbes, who's a horrible little bastard, or Nuts in National Lampoon. Have you ever read that?
No, I've read that.
That's like the dark side of Peanuts, and it's just this horrible kid and his horrible experiences.
Yeah.
So those I like because they're like real children.
I tell you, the ones in the Phoenix are absolutely fucking dynamite as well. They're like,
are they?
Yeah, they really, the people at the Phoenix fucking get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't talk down to kids, otherwise.
No.
They knife you these days. Yeah. And they won't sell you any more heroin.
Yeah. But you said, like, there's a lot of those three panel strips that I sort of see and just think, what the fuck? Where's the joke in this? It's really.
Well, it's like Family Circus, isn't it? Or what's the one people are always talking about?
What's that?
Funky Winkerbean, which is just the most humorless thing you've ever seen.
What's that one that used to be in the Metro about the goth girl?
Neve. Is it Neve? Nemi? Uh-huh. Nemi.
Oh, that was awful.
Neve, yeah.
Yeah.
I read that and go, what?
That one you like, Tony, you know, the is it the Spanish guy or Mexican artist? And
Is that Fowler?
I can't remember the name of it. It's the all the same looking people, and they've got the same face expression all the time.
Coelho, or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Because there was one today, and like, someone's like, I don't get the joke. And I sort of said, well, that's it. And there was a big conversation, which I muted. It's like, if you don't get the joke, I was like, just move on. Like,
is that the one where there's the couple having a selfie done, and in the mirror above them, you can see that it's the baby attached to the cord using the phone to take a selfie of them? Is that the one?
No, this one was one where...
that's horrendous.
There's like a bank robbery.
I get the joke.
and it ended up with like the person who owned the bank getting robbed ended up taking away like the little kid of the bank robber, and the guy was like, I don't get the joke. He's like, well, there's an old man taking away a little boy. Like,
it's full of people sawing hands off and doing shits
really
on each other.
Really,
he gets a lot of banned, doesn't he? He does get a lot of banned off Instagram. Yeah,
does he?
I'll send you the link, Pete. It's better than it sounds, to be fair.
Well, it does sound quite intriguing.
it's got a visual start. I mean, this is an artist.
As soon as you see it, you know it.
Plus, it's the sort of person that will then do sell-out galleries.
Yeah.
They've done some amazing art exhibitions and stuff that I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember reading the fucking book on the train, and I turned to one, and I was like, can't read this on the train.
There is sort of like, what the fuck?
I can't think of the geezer's name now. It was killing me.
I'm liking the sound of it better and better, actually.
Because the characters always have this properly creepy smile on their face. It just makes everything more disturbing and funnier.
Do you think you can find it, Dan?
I will. Yeah, I find
you,
it.
You look for it as I talk about some of the responses we had on the Twitter feed, as well as the poll.
Good shout.
We had some great responses as the question as well.
Yeah,
and some shout-outs. Lise Richardson, she said, all my comics are autobio, even Hauntings, which she sold out of. I feel like if there's one thing I can write about in a fun way, it's my lived experience. There's some links, so check out the Twitter feed for that. But yeah, Lise does a good line in sort of autobio comics. It's the real, you know. I love Lisa's work. Tim West says, super useful way of addressing your own neuroses and getting things off your chest, autobiography comics. I've done a few, but usually masquerade them as other people.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite interesting. Ludology, he says, I think I could give it a shot. It seems easier than any other type of comic. I've read some good ones, but also some basic ones that anyone could do. There's a good few hourly comics out there.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? Yeah, that's true.
Is that like a well? Clearly, it must be a comic that's made in an hour. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're putting out a comic an hour,
you're dead.
God.
It'd be like fucking an episode of 24.
What was their name again, Vince? Who said that?
That was Ludology.
Well, go and do it, son. Go and do it.
Go and do it, son.
Do your comic.
Yeah.
He wrote me a lovely email this week, Ludology. Yeah. He gave me how much he enjoyed Hercules 3, so thanks, dude. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to hell as well.
Yeah, he's fucking. He's clearly wrong. Yeah.
I've just
DM'd you that profile, by the way. It's
I've just seen it. Yeah.
Joan Cornella. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just sent all them in the Skype chats.
Yeah. Good luck sleeping. Mark Jackson said, a few years ago, I worked with Edith Zimmerman and made comics about my family life for Spiral Bound. Matt Boyce. Yeah, which at Matt Boyce Draws says, I've done a few about growing up in a deaf family and being a native BSL user. Not sure I'm going to do any more, but the links are here.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And they look like fascinating comics.
I learned a bit of BSL a few years ago.
The great thing about this sort of Twitter thread is there's lots of great creators who are posting their work on there. So seriously, when you see the poll on the Twitter feed, look at the thread, because there's lots of great links. Sam Webster, there's a link for autism anxiety. He says, in terms of why I broke big time and massively regressed, the worst my mental health had ever been, the autobio comic became a good therapeutic exercise to explore my mental health and well-being.
I love the way you read that in such an upbeat voice.
Yeah, I tried. I know, I went a little bit Partridge. Sorry, Sam. And he said, well, because the better I'm doing, the fewer pages get drawn, which I guess is bad for readers. Interesting, that like
the effect that comics have on us
is kind of a venting thing.
But it's like that sort of like a musician. It's like, what am I? You know, the classic albums are the ones of someone struggling. When they're a millionaire, no one likes it. When you know, they're not as good anymore because they've got nothing to complain about because they're millionaires.
Yeah, it's the old second album shit, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard for Dre to talk about the hood when he's living in the Beverly Hills for 20 plus years.
I mean, I'm quite happy to do comics about prostitutes still, though, so that's fine.
Hey, yeah.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yes, somebody's
got to do it. I'm just looking at this Joan Cornella. It is deeply disturbing, isn't it?
And weirdly addictive.
I don't know if I like it, but I'm drawn in.
but it won't let you leave. Lucy Sullivan Barking mixes autobio with allegory. Found it hard to be totally honest about my experience when drawing myself, but not when putting to a character.
That's interesting. I wrote something that, and I put it aside because I thought it was too honest.
Yeah,
that's gonna scar you.
Right, even for you.
Even for me. Yeah, yeah.
With Barking, she said it was made less as a cathartic and more about breaking taboos around mental illness, which is
fair enough.
Barking's a fantastic book. We don't need us to tell you that because everyone's been saying it. Gumshoe Comics, What I love about this is there's lots of people that haven't.
we haven't seen them before, have we? Yeah.
Gumshoe Comics says, I have, but I tend to keep those to myself in terms of autobiography comics. If I were ever to release them, I feel like I need the permission of the other people mentioned. But frankly, I'm okay with keeping them private for now, which I think is a fascinating angle of making comics, but then just keeping them. So that must be. That's an exercise.
That's
for yourself,
fucking tough. I don't know if you do that.
It's almost like a diary.
Might be therapy.
It's like a keeping a diary, isn't it, of your day? That kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And diaries are very private things. I mean,
I'll tell you whose diary I wouldn't want to see: John Otway's.
The prison diaries. No, we love John.
we love John, but he is a murderer.
Yeah, he's a murderer. we're going to write a comic, bro. Tom Stewart, our mate Tom, he says, it sounds really mad, but I've always wanted to do one. Then, like, Pete, what do you want to tell Tom? He's always wanted to do one, so?
Then go ahead and do it, son.
There you go.
He's dipped into comics recently, so he can get on with it.
Yeah, because genuinely, you're the only one who can do it. You're the only one who can tell that story the way you tell it. So you don't need anyone's permission. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's the old Eddie Campbell quote, isn't it? If you make comics, you're in comics.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just make a comic. Yeah.
He's always slightly worried it'll be too whiny, or I won't enjoy drudging up some memories and seeing them realised on the page, or it would just turn out to be boring as fuck.
Yeah, but you don't know until you do it. That's the risk, isn't it?
And also,
that is the risk.
If you do it, you don't. If you read it and just think, I'm not comfortable releasing this to anyone, you don't have to. He's a funny
bloke. He'd get away with it. Occasionally, he and I share each other's unboxing videos.
Yeah,
you've seen some of them.
Yep. And Tom is one that I know. He said this in the thread as well. Is one of his personal favorite genres to look through on his shelves. I know he's well read, and he loves a lot of this sort of books. And he says it's also worth noting that a lot of tremendous cartoonists do autobio work. There is lots more. This thread is massive. I could be here all night.
Did Julia Round send through one? I think she did, didn't she? About her experiences of reading Misty comics.
Yes, Julia Round at Hypno Jew. I wrote a four-pager about how my childhood memory of girls' horror comic, Misty comic, led to my research on British comics after Dr. Mel Comics said this was like a typical Misty story.
That's good, because I did a Misty episode this week with Sarah. Brilliant. Sarah was great on it. And I got a lovely email, a lovely message from Julia about the episode, so that was very kind of her.
Brilliant. Yeah. And there is a link for that one as well.
You can read that, it's free, I think. Can you? I read it, it's very good actually.
I think that's
a good point as well. Don't feel you've got to do a 120 page graphic novel. Do a page and see how you get on.
Just try it.
Yeah, and don't forget we've got the anthology open at the moment, so if it's good it might even get in there.
There you go. Just a couple more. John Myers said, I made So I Guess My Body Pretty Much Hates Me Now. We've all felt like that. But that is about being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, because obviously making a comic is the most practical and sensible way to deal with such tidings. And it was winner of Best One Shot in the 2020 Broken Frontier Awards.
And I think
personal work, and how can we not? Who's this at Vanguard?
The bloke who likes Vans.
Vanguard Comic. he said, "Cat Chapman's Follow Me In" is a favourite of mine.
Yeah,
sets a high bar indeed, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I really like that title. It's kind of stayed with me.
Another one that gets mentioned, Americana. That's another good one as well.
Yeah,
previous guest. Yeah.
And another creator, just the last one. I mean, literally look at the thread. Kristen Hass Curtis at Hello Midsk. I've been making them for over 7 years now, and it remains my favourite kind of comic to make. It keeps a record of my life in a way that slows me down and helps me reflect on my days and moments. I love rereading my old diaries. And there's some.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a comic just for yourself. You don't need to sell it, do you? Let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some great comics there. On that one, so check out that link as well, because that looks great as well. I love these threads where people are posting their work. That's what, you know.
Yeah, it's free comics, isn't it, mate? Free comics. Must do that more.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's you know, autobiographical comics are a fascinating genre to me, and I mean, because autobiographical are fascinating, biographical, I see them. I don't know why. In my head, I see them as the knowledge books. They're the almost library books. Do you know what I mean? That's the important people of history books when I think of biographies.
Yeah, I mean? It must be great for kids these days, you know, and you're learning about Che Guevara in history class. You can go and read a comic. I never had that alternative when I was at school. I had to read some dusty old book.
I would have been reading so much more. I mean, for instance, I clicked on the Comixology, sort of like, I just thought, oh, there's a biography tab.
Yeah, I had to click on that as well, yeah.
And it's massive. I mean, of course, sometimes you get some absolutely mental ones where people are just doing zombie hunter of a person in history. But there's so much different sort of stuff. There's one that I've actually been meaning to read, Andre the Giant.
Oh, yes, I must read that as well. That's meant to be good. I've heard who's that by again, mate?
It's one of my... an artist I love. I'm just clicking on it now. It's a very thing is it's the digital price that puts me off, so I might have to buy the physical. Written by Brandon M. Easton, art by Dennis Medry. I love Dennis's work. It's from Lion Forge Comics.
Oh, okay. Are they still about Lion Forge?
I don't know. This came out in 2016. So
yeah.
But I know that was it was quite a popular book. That one wasn't it? I think. Yeah, there's been a couple of Andre the Giant books, actually.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they have.
Yeah, but it's fascinating character.
Wrestling's popular at the moment, isn't it? It's another sort. That's going through a little phase.
Yeah. There's quite a few sort of wrestling biography comics, and sometimes they're absolutely insane.
There was a TV show on Ric Flair, and that was fucking hilarious. If they'd a comic done about him, I'd love to read it because he was such a fucking baller. It was just
I miss this. I think because I'm slightly older than you guys, I missed this bit because wrestling to me was Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks, and Kendo Nagasaki.
I got into the American stuff late, but Ric Flair had like his style and fashion had like a big influence on some parts of the black community in America. Because he would go around with all this jewelry on, these big coats, and it was taken as like that's the symbol of wealth and being a player. Yeah, and he's got so many fans.
And he would shout about it, it's like, oh, I've got the limousines, I've got the jets, and because he was playing this character, but he in this time where lots of people believed it. Do you know what I mean? They thought that it exists. So he had to live that life.
He started living the character.
He had to live that life in order to. For it to be sort of believable. So when he has to sort of say, oh yeah, I wear jackets that are thousands of dollars that, you know, and he had to literally go out and spend his own money for this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of money from it as well. So
there's a story of like when there was all the wrestlers on a plane going to some gig and everyone was getting pissed up and like just being really cheeky. And he just walked down the middle of the plane with like naked except for like the fur coat on.
We've all done that. Mate. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Dan, you're an evil genius. I just throwing that in there just for no reason.
You're absolutely beast. all this stuff that no one will ever see.
We'll speak later, Pete. We'll speak later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not about you. No. No. You're safe for now. Paranoid.
I wonder why there was so much wrestling on my Twitter timeline. Now I know. I was like, wrestling? That's Big Daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is evergreen, though. It seems to keep on coming around wrestling. You think, oh, that wrestling's done now. And then it comes back, and you think, now, that's it. Yeah, it's fucking no more wrestling. Baby, and then it comes back again. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that Kirby Enthusiasm where he gets fucking bullied by a wrestler? So he fucking finds the kids sitting in the car while the wrestler's getting a coffee and tells them that wrestling isn't real and it's all made up. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, class.
I remember the documentary with Louis Theroux when he says it's not real, it's fake. And the fucking guy makes him exercise through pukes.
Yeah.
And says like, I mean, all the kind of like the storylines are fake. But like you getting thrown up in the air and standing on the ground, that's real.
If I'm falling 15 foot and landing through a table onto a crash mat, I'm not going to be happy about it.
Yeah, but then again, Louis Theroux did think a lot of other things with Haig as well. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Oh, controversial.
No. Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah. Oh God, you're going to get us cancelled, Tony. But no, I think it's. Do you know what I think I've certainly it was a genre like biography and autobiographical comics were something that I never read. Really. Like before this show, I could not tell you. I wouldn't be able to give you a recommendation for one. When this show started, but this speaks to anyone that may think, well, they're not really for me. You know, these sort of books. There are books out there that is really for you because, like everything in comics, there's different flavors, there's different stories.
You know,
if you're thinking, oh, it's really dry. No, some of them are hilarious.
Yeah.
Some of them are fascinating. Sometimes you'll learn stuff about cultures, about people, about, you know, historical. You know, if there's something you're interested in, there will be a book about a real person that has something to do with that. I'm pretty sure of it.
Can I just throw a few recommendations I haven't had a chance to mention that I think people might enjoy? So you've got The Twilight Man, which is about Rod Serling. That's out of Humanoids by Corin Shadmi. That's very good, actually.
What's that?
Really like that. Twilight Man. There's Poppies of Iraq by Bridget Findakli and Lewis Trondheim, and it's about her growing up as a Christian in Iraq. There's Last Days of Vietnam by Will Eisner.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's... what else did I write then? Oh, the March books from Top Shelf about John Lewis in America. They've done really well. I think they've done really well for Top Shelf, but they're a really interesting read. And last one is Hate by Peter Bagg, which you have to read, which is just
Hate
fucking
amazing.
Hate
is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it's brilliant.
Fucking amazing.
Who do you think is the biggest publisher of?
I'm going to say Fantagraphics. I'm going to just.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah. Although the French do put a lot of biographies out.
Drawn and Quarterly do, of
course. Yeah, they do as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the French, because BD is so big, you get a lot of, big names. Like they did a great series on Marx and, all these sort of historical figures. They don't mind putting that stuff out. So from a biographical point of view, I think somebody like Dargaard or someone puts a lot out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's already lots of links for people.
Yeah,
loads of links.
I think it's, and I think people listening to this are going to be these kind of people anyway. You get to a point in comics where you're just interested in comics as a medium, not the genres. So, you know, I will read anything if it looks interesting enough.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah.
I don't really care what genre it is.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Wolverine. It can be anyone for me. Yeah, it's the medium I'm after. Yeah.
Yeah.
As my bank balance will attest.
Yeah. Just read whatever comics make you happy, because that's what we need, more people reading comics.
Yeah, because there's enough about to make you feel shit, so find something that makes you happy.
Yeah. And I think it's great that like we touched on it earlier, that more of these sort of like sequential tellings of like historical events or people's lives are more readily available for kids. You know what I mean? We all would have given our left arm I would have been more interested in reading about something than...
Mate, the no-brow books that relate to historical figures and naturalists and politicians and stuff do really well for us because the libraries all buy them.
I was just trying to find one that I read out of my local library. It's Jack Jackson, who was an underground cartoonist.
All right.
And he did, I think it's called Indian Summer or Apache Summer.
Okay.
But if people Google it in, it's very much worth reading. It's about this girl back in the old West who was this white girl who was kidnapped by Indians when she was 5. And it's her life story.
All right.
And I did read that in the educational section of the local library, so maybe schools could get it. That's definitely worth reading.
Oh, good stuff, man. Yeah.
I forgot on that one.
Nice. So keep your eyes out wherever you go to find comics.
Yep.
Try something. And if you've always been thinking about doing it, just give it a go. You never know what'll happen.
And grab Stan and Jack. Pete Dory.
Yes.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yes. And follow Pete. I mean, we're going to give you... He's with us for the rest of the show, for God's sake. He's not going anywhere.
I'm not going nowhere.
We've trapped him now.
Yeah. No, completely. Do a page, do a panel, do three panels. Just try it. Yeah. I mean, if fuckers like us can do it, anybody can.
Very true.
Yeah. There you go.
Have you seen some of the shit out there? You'll be fine.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, you'll be fine. There's some right shit out there. That's what you're going to take away. That's what you'll take away from this episode.
I mean, I do have a file on my computer called Comic Pros that I'm better than. Or I just save panels I've seen and go, fuck me, I'm better than that.
Yeah, so, just to cheer yourself up at the start of the
just
boring
to make
day.
Yourself yeah. feel better, exactly.
Speaking of making you feel better, what shout outs do we have this week, Jets?
I've got one. So we were going to talk, and I know this isn't probably going to make anyone feel better, but we were going to mention a couple of people that we've lost, weren't we, Pete? We had a little discussion online about it.
But in a celebratory way.
Because
we have lost some greats over the last year, really.
Yeah.
But the two that kind of really hit me hard was Corbin, Richard Corbin.
Yeah.
And we lost Frank Thorne this weekend. And I know they were both of an age. But fuck me, their work is incredible. And everybody should buy as much of it as they can.
I mean, I think Frank Thorne was like 80 or something, wasn't he? I think he had a good innings, as they say. Well, but
For those people who don't know those names, I think we've touched on Richard Corbin in the past, I think, when he passed. But Frank Thorne, what should people seek out of his work? Or
he's worked steadily through comics, and people forget a lot of the stuff he worked. He started in the 40s doing romance comics, actually, funny enough. And then he did a lot for Dell Comics, which we don't see enough of over here. But if you go in bargain bins in the States, it's full of Dell comics. I love reading them.
Yeah, me too. There's also a trade of Mighty Samson, which is Strip he did in the late 50s.
Yeah, I've got that. I love that. Yeah,
and that's from Dark Horse. That's very much worth getting.
Yeah,
it's a silly post-apocalyptic romp, but it's he's drawing it, so it's fantastic.
Yeah, I remember chatting to James Robinson for about half an hour about that comic and about how he wanted to bring it back. It was his favourite ever thing. And I'd like to see that. Yeah, he did some Flash Gordon with them. He did some Jungle Jim, Green Hornet, Tomahawk. Did quite a lot with them, actually. He's probably, I'm going to say, Pete, probably best known for Red Sonja. Would you agree?
I'd say so. And all the more so because of the whole story, which if people don't know, he was one of the first cosplayers, I suppose, him and Wendy Pinney. And they used to do a stage show at conventions where he'd be a wizard and Wendy would be Red Sonja. And you can see it on YouTube. The sound isn't great, but you can see it.
I'll definitely Google it because he looks impressive. And he looked a bit hippy-dippy, didn't he, anyway, until that long beard. But Wendy's a good-looking lady in that costume. Yeah. She wears it well.
She does.
And he used to pose, and some of it was involving him doing, like, Red Sonja, what was now known as cosplay competitions. He used to judge them as this wizard, which sounds a little bit creepy. I'll be honest, kind of bit, but he did some erotic fantasy as well. He did Gita of Alizar, which I read recently.
Yeah, which is basically an X-rated Red Sonja, isn't it?
Yeah, Some people have got two rows of breasts and all this sort of thing going on. It's quite out there. It's good.
Yeah.
I think there's a new version of that just come out, almost like an artist edition size. I think it's either come out or just about to come out.
Oh, yeah. I think Mike Collins was talking about that. Yeah, I think it is out.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, if you're only going to buy one thing of his, I'd buy Red Sonja. That's the best place to start.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
I'll tell you what's a good one as well, and one we mentioned to Shelley Bond when we had her on, because she was an intern at Kamiko, was a book he did with them called Ribbit, which you can find that pretty cheaply. And that's got some gorgeous art in as well. It's coloured. Yeah. Frank Thorne, which really looks really nice. And he did some work for Heavy Metal. Was it called Lan? I always forget the name of it.
It was called Lan, and that was filthy as well. I think he got filthier as he got older. Lan's a sci-fi strip, which is great. Filthy. And then there's Moonshine McJugs. which is everything you think it is.
Yeah. And that was for Playboy, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think Playboy Comics was it that was briefly a thing.
Right. Yeah. I've got some
mood jokes.
Yeah. Because there's a series from Eros, which is where I saw Moonshine McJugs.
Right.
I think it's called The Erotic Worlds of Frank Thorne.
Oh, okay.
And there's a couple of issues of Moonshine getting up to what you would expect her to get up to. So go for that as well, if you're of the appropriate age, obviously.
Yes, obviously, and the of opinions, but the are not easily shocked. But the other thing I read, I only read this once, but did his wife die like a number of hours after him?
No, before him. Six hours before him. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. How sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sad, good. But kind of sweet in the same way. But But, you know, if we've got anybody out there who hasn't checked out Frank's stuff or hasn't checked out Corbin's stuff, please do, because you will love it.
Yeah.
Corbin is like one of the horror greats as well.
Corbin's one of those blokes I don't think I've recovered from seeing the first time when I was a kid, because it's so extreme. It's so scary. It's just his style. It's like Kevin O'Neill in a way. His style is just strange and scary, you know.
And the use of inks, masterful. Absolutely masterful.
Yeah. Mostly the shape of breasts. You know, I'm going to say that there.
And also did the Meatloaf album.
Yeah, of course he did. That's right.
I mean, the first thing I saw of his was Neverwhere, when it was first released as a graphic novel. And it was like, okay, A, everybody's naked in this thing, literally everybody. and B, it's like Technicolor after living in a black and white world, isn't it? It's like, wow, it's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah. He did some great Hellboy as well. People forget that. His Hellboy.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did a lot of work with Dark Horse, didn't he, I think, as well.
He did Bigfoot with IDW. Shadows of the Grave, I think, is one you're thinking of there, V. It was really good. Yeah. There's a nice hardback of that out there. Yeah, I've got that here. Good stuff. Yeah. I've got another shout, if you don't mind, guys. Good Friday just got Wicked. new project from Tribute Press is our Patreon. We are now running a Patreon. It drops on the 2nd of April, Good Friday. For £1.49 a month, you get 5 comic pages a week plus extra material at the weekend. Watch out for the link. We think that's good. We think that's a bargain. George Mayhem's going to be leading us off, which I'm hoping you'll enjoy. I'm absolutely having a blast doing it with Daryl Thorpe. And then we're going to follow that up with something that Adam and I are working on now as well. But it's going to be like 5 pages a week for £1.49 a month. I think it's pretty good value. So get on board that. Follow us on Twitter at Tribute Press for updates. And there'll be some teaser artwork and stuff like that. If you sign up on the 2nd, there'll already be a week's worth of art on there and story for you to read. So there you go. That's our next one. You'll hear about that constantly from me. Apologies in advance.
No, it's cool.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Dan, do you have any shout-outs?
We've got the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League.
This week. Cross your fingers when you say that.
Is it out this week, is it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Where's it being shown? Can we? Because I just want to see it because it's got all the Fourth World stuff in it.
I saw a trailer earlier on, and apparently Granny Goodness is in it, but I didn't see her. It's at HBO Max.
I don't know how that works in the UK.
I'm just going to be glad I'm not going to be on the internet the day that comes out.
I'm loving it.
I'm fucking seeing what the reactions are. People arguing.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what it's like. They're still going to carry on, those people, aren't they?
They're not going to stop.
They're
not going to stop. It's just crazy that how much money they gave to it.
Justice League film. I thought that was shit.
Yeah,
the Justice League film.
Yeah, the thing is, the problem is still we're still locked down, aren't we? He's going to make a lot of money out of it. He's lucky
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Zack Snyder has said that he didn't ask for any money to do what he's done with that film, with the new one.
Right.
But obviously they gave more for the budget and stuff. But by going back and doing it, I think it's a good career move for him, because Warner Brothers are like, wow, he's done this for us. And he hasn't wanted any money for it. Do you know what I mean? They're gonna throw
just exposure. Well done, Zach. Yeah. Just work for exposure.
Well done.
We flogged the same film twice to people.
Yeah. And there's lots of people who are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh well. And we're not going to talk about it on the show.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Tony's going to watch it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'll watch it if I can get.
We'll all watch it.
But why not?
Yeah. But we won't talk about it. And next week, for instance, I'm not going to talk about much because I'm not going to be here.
Oh, no, it's fucking... Honestly, it's going to go badly.
Yeah. so, Tony, that was us two last time. You're a bit more of a seasoned pro at this time, T, because you've been doing your own show.
I think I think the last one started off with me going, I really don't know what I'm doing, but let's give it a go. Yeah. I think that's how it started.
No, next week's episode is going to be Dan and Tony and a special guest.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. I'm having a week off because I won't really have the internet and I'm moving house. So.
Hey.
Yeah,
we're all moving in together. Actually, people don't realise this about us. We're all moving into the same house together. It's going to be lovely.
Basically, I'm getting the bedrooms nice for Dan and Tony. I'm getting all the silk linens and
handcuffs.
Yeah, hot water bottles.
Getting the crucifixes.
The house is pretty much one of the Saw films. Just imagine that.
You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to go. There's some bloke down the pub asking after you. He wanted to know where you lived. That was me.
But anyway, don't worry, because we're all going to be back for episode 300.
Yeah, it's coming your way.
Where we're going to shout, "This is Sparta," and kick someone down a hole. not that kind of 300, but there will be. But find out. There are going to be some details if you want to be in the audience.
Yeah, it's kind of it. We're going to do a live one, aren't we, via Zoom?
Yeah.
So it should be fun.
Yeah.
This is the kind of joint drink and draw thing, isn't it? I'd forgotten.
Yeah,
it's a bit like that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't got to oil each other up like in 300, have we?
Yes.
Well, we can.
It's optional.
It's optional.
I believe we call it lubing up. I believe.
Lubing. That's another Frank Thorne comic.
What, one man's oil is another man's lube. What?
Correct. Correct.
Have you got any shout outs, Pete?
Stuff to read or stuff.
No, just anyone you want to promote or any links you've
any
liked
lubes.
Or. Yeah.
Do you know? I don't think I have, to be honest. I did listen to yours and Sarah's chat the other day, and she was talking about how she's struggling or she was struggling to read stuff.
Yeah,
kind of the same at the minute, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean,
it's so close, aren't we, to an ending? That's the thing, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. I did reread The First Kingdom, which was almost as weighty an exercise as Jack Katz took doing it. Because it's not an easy read, is it?
It's
fantastic, but it's not.
Is that Kickstarter ended yet, or?
Yeah, it has. So that's the only thing I've been involved in, really. I do recommend The First Kingdom if no one's read it.
Yeah, they're great. I think you can pick them up quite cheaply as trades or hardbacks, can't you?
You can.
And that's one hell of a segue, Pete. Speaking of recommends, I mean...
There you go.
What's in The First Kingdom?
I mean, what else would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
Well, if they're reading The First Kingdom, they won't need to read anything else because it'll take them a month, genuinely. And I'm not slagging it off because it is just something that you have to concentrate and you have to live with and you have to go, right, I'm going to do one of these a day because if I do any more, my head is going to explode.
Right.
So it is a masterpiece, genuinely, but it's going to take you a while to get through it. So that is the only other thing I've been reading. But I'm very much looking forward to the Unseen Jack Katz when that comes through.
So who was it who ran that Kickstarter? Was someone...
That was Liam Sharp.
Of course it was, yeah.
Yeah. But I just think Katz is an amazing artist. I think he's, he's 93 now. And as part of the campaign, Liam said something like, look, this is your chance to celebrate one of these guys while they're still here, not after they're dead, which I wholeheartedly believe in.
Yeah.
That's my shout-out, I guess.
Cool. And it's happy birthday to Al Jaffe, who's 100. He was 100 yesterday.
Absolutely. Hey, looking really well on it.
Looking
really well on it.
If only we could all be so lucky.
Well, that's in normal human lives, not cartoonist. He's made it to 50, hasn't he? Because he really should be dead by now. If you're a cartoonist at 100, Jesus, and you're still working.
Doing all right. Okay, who would like to go next with the recommends?
Shall I go next?
Go on.
Okay. I've just dropped some images of mine in the chat.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. So I sent off this week for a package from Josh Bayer. who I really like his work. And
Why do I know that name, Tony? Why do I know that name?
Does all American comics. He's done quite a lot. He's mostly kind of indie.
I feel like I know that name.
You will do, man. Yeah, yeah. I think I might have mentioned him before.
Yeah, that's probably why.
So, this is his version of Rom.
Oh, is that what I'm looking at? Right.
Yeah.
No offence. I'm liking the look of it, but it's so small, I can't quite see it.
Oh, sorry, man. Yeah, yeah. The if you have it, so this is, he interprets issue 29 of Rom, interpreted by Josh Bayer. And the cover is, it looks like a man who's in a, it's kind of like a shit cosplay version of Rom, isn't it? A man in a ski mask.
Yeah.
But the inside front cover is actually black and white. And it's, as is the inside back cover, it's actual pages of Sal Buscema art from Rom, from that issue.
Right.
I'm not sure what the copyright issues are, or what the copyright problems are, if there are any with this. And I'm going to say that Josh probably didn't give a fuck anyway, similar to me. there's a short intro section, which is Josh's hand writing stuff on a blank page, and he keeps crossing it out. And he ends up saying, Rom issue 29, interpreted by Josh Bayer. And that is the same issue, as we all know, for Rom, where it starts off with a funeral and turns into a big bash him up sort of thing. So in his sadness, Rom is bereft, and he's at the funeral of Starlight. Starshine, who is a fellow space knight, who's been killed, and they're at the funeral, and he's bereft, and in Josh's book he's a little bit over emotional. Josh portrays Rom as quite bulky. He looks occasionally like his arm is beginning to melt, and he's quite sort of stamps about as this sort of robot character. He decides he's going to head off, but he heads off, and Brandy, who's another character in Rom, tries to console him. And but he says I can't. I'm going to go under off. And Steve Jackson, who's another character in the comic, all he can think about is giving oral sex to Brandy. And there's a little image of that I sent through to you as well. And having sex with her in the bath and saying things to her like, "I bet you Rom couldn't do this to you, could he?"
I feel like this is a comic that the world needs, especially.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because I remember Brandy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So in his sadness, Rom wanders off, and he goes to a place called Lucifer Falls, and he discovers a man and finds a bloke from the town, and he's they're all dying from radiation, and he uses his neutralizer on him, and he saves him, and he saves the town using his neutralizer. His neutralizer had different powers that it could use, and it turns out this has happened from a previous issue of the Hulk, where the Hulk has fought someone called the Missing Link. It was a sort of quite a cool Hulk villain, you know, one of these sort of bulky.
I remember him.
Yeah. Bulky Hulk villains. And Link, he's down the mine. So Rom heads down the mine shaft, and he comes across the Missing Link, the Link. And he sort of pours his heart out a bit to Rom, and he says, "This is what's happened to me in my life, and how I was beaten by the Hulk and cursed with this freakish radiation." And they have this sort of little heart to heart, and Rom says, "I must eliminate the threat you pose to the planet." And they have a big tear up. It goes on for quite a few pages, which is great. At the end of it, Rom saves him. He recovers his neutralizer. It's been thrown away, and he shines it on the Missing Link, and he saves him as he does. And all the while he's thinking, I keep hearing about this bloke called the Hulk. I wonder if I'll ever meet him. And of course he does. I think it's in like Hulk 298 or something like that, with the famous Sienkiewicz cover. The story then switches, comes out of the Marvel story and switches to this bloke who's the dude on the cover. And he's at home and he's in his basement reading his comics in his ski mask. And his name's Seth. And the kids call him Theth. Like that, they're using that sort of, because they take the piss out of him a lot. And his mum tells him to take his mask off and bollocks him for reading new comics and spending his money on new comics. And she picks up one of his comics. She says, "Everything you read is angry and weird." She picks up one of the comics and notices that it's got the cover date on it is August. And she says, "I told you you're not allowed to buy new comics." And of course, as we all know, the cover month is always wrong, wasn't it? And he says, "No, really, really, I bought this months ago. I haven't bought anything new." And she says, "Yeah, but this says August, so you're a liar." Turns out he goes into school and he's sort of singing a song. He quite likes the Police, and he's singing another black spot on the sun today over it is. The kids start taking the piss out of him, and then he puts his mask on and starts running around very fast. It's kind of the whole story. It's just full of fucking energy. Like I say, I ordered this off Josh, and it came quicker. Bear in mind, it's coming from the States. I think he lives in New York, Josh. It came quicker than it does comics did from just eBay in this country. So I was really impressed. And he sent me, I bought a few things from him, but he also sent me a panel of original art as well, which was lovely to get as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The art's kind of, as you can see from that, very loose, but absolutely chock full of energy. I love the way the sort of the unrulered edges of panels and just the way he just throws himself into drawing, and people don't always completely look exactly the same, but you can tell who they are because he's got that iconic thing down, you know, down flat. His character, they're all exaggerated. Often they're actually, all his characters are actually a little bit gross. You know, they all look a bit, I'm trying to think of another artist who I compare with him. Then there's no one I can really, no one's sort of jumping out at me. Maybe some of the people from Zap or something like that who would in the 60s would have drawn some stuff. But he's not an old guy. He's I think he's younger than me. The comic is, it throws a little wink at the reader. You know, you really do get some funny moments in it. But you can tell that he loves the source material. So he's a big fan. And he says that this is a part of an ongoing project he does where he's redrawing some of his favorite comics as a kid. And I think he's either done it or he's about to do a comic of DP7. Do you remember the New Universe comic?
Yeah.
I think he's done. It wasn't great, but apparently he likes it. He's done that. There is another ROM issue out there, but it's sold out, sadly. There's a lot of stuff that's sold out on his site. This is all black and white. It's oversized. So it's anyone who's been to American Entertainment Weekly, which is slightly smaller than a normal magazine over here, but bigger than American comic size. That's kind of the stamp of what you'll get.
Okay.
Yeah. The back of it is an upside down picture of Rom. I don't know why he's done it upside down. It's just, that's kind of makes me laugh. And it says, I am $5. So it's pretty good value as well. Yeah. I'm definitely into these books now. I'm definitely going to, as soon as he has new stuff out or the Rom one becomes available again, I'm going to get it. I also bought something off him called Raw Power, about two sort of shirtless men cutting names into their chests.
Now we're talking.
Throwing up on each other's genitals. But there you go. It looks pretty good. So yeah, give it a go. Josh Bayer. You can find him on Instagram at Josh M Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, and he's at www.joshbayer.com. There you go.
Nice. Cool.
It definitely sounds like he just got up in the morning and went, I'm doing this today.
Yeah, I like it.
Absolutely the best reason to do anything.
Yeah, you've got to appreciate that sort of comics.
Sorry, I batted in. Go.
I've got a short, sharp, and very quick recommend this week because I've been busy doing other things, so I haven't had a chance to read as much. I do have some stuff on my Comixology. I will probably have quite a lot to talk about on 300. But yeah, I just want to recommend Homesick Pilots.
Is continuing to be well, Dan.
the first three issues. I read issue 4 this week and it's still absolutely smashing it. It has a colour palette. Casper Wingard's artwork is just phenomenal lovely. Anyway. But his colour palette is the sort of thing that was just probably would keep Dan up at night. That's all I'm going to say. plus Dan and Waters, Ratters.
Watters.
We need to get these guys on the show so we can actually.
That'd be great.
Because they've been making books together for a while, and it's a brilliant team. And Homesick Pilots, it's a 5-issue arc. Issue 4 is a nice setup for what's going to come next. Of what I hope is an ongoing tale. It feels like there's a big universe being built up. For those that don't know what it is, just imagine people piloting mechs. But instead of them being giant robots, they're haunted houses. Make of that what you will. there are ghosts. There are brilliant horror designs. Issue 4, and there's a lot of action. This is a lot more like an action book than I thought it was going to be a horror book. There is a fight between. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a cool design creature fighting a monster that's made up of VHS tapes. but it's like they've been unwound and like they're sentient, and it's brilliant. And it's basically all about the ghosts. There's lots of different ghosts in this house as well, and the main character Amy is trying to collect them all, but she's run into problems, and her old punk rock bandmates get involved as well. But just the character designs, this is just, it's almost like a horror sci-fi book that everyone needs to be reading. The cover designs are so in my wheelhouse, it's unreal. But like I say, you know, if you're reading it digitally, the back issue bin, I guess, is Image do a good sort of line in that, really, don't they? It doesn't take them long for the back issues to, because a new issue is £3.19. Which means, yes, I'm breaking my habit. There are a couple of series where I will go to bat for if they're very good, and I enjoy reading them. And Homesick Pilots is one I have to read the week it comes out. But you can get the first three issues for like £1.59 at the moment. So, and I'm definitely going to double dip on this because I want this.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's where in like buy the first issue on Comixology and buy the trade.
Yeah.
I know I get scorned for saying that because.
No, it's going to be a beautiful trade. But yeah, just a series in general. Just if you like character designs, like one of them, the house, one of the pieces of furniture in the house is like a lucky horseshoe that hangs on the wall, but the horseshoe's actually haunted. But the character, the ghost that is this sort of horseshoe, it almost has like a sort of wraith-like necromantic sort of. It looks like something out of a Del Toro film sort of face, but the top of its head is like a horseshoe shape. It's really fucking genius, to be honest. Yeah, this series is just kicking ass. It's very nice that it came around at just the right time, and it's absolutely delivering. So Homesick Pilots, get on it, and that's mine. And Dan, what would you like to recommend?
Bearing in mind, we following the theme of the show, I've got a book called. As Before, So Behind, by story and art by Ted Adrian Clausen.
Did you read this?
Yeah. Have you seen it? You read it?
I read it last. This is the book I talked about last week.
This is the book you talked about last week,
babe. Yeah. I was going to say, like, it's just fucking. I downloaded it and, good. Like,
I'm going to say no more, and I just want to hear you talk about this, Dan, because this is an.
It was hard hitting for me because a couple of weeks ago I became an uncle. My brother had like a little boy, so when I started reading it, it was like it felt very close to me.
Yeah,
and just the whole narrative, it's just I've had to read it a couple of times because I'm missing something. Like there's a message here I'm being told by the artist, and I'm trying to work out what the metaphor. He's going for, but essentially the couple. Did you read last week, Vince? The kind of preface that goes before the book.
Yeah.
And it's so it's all about dealing with this couple's loss of their child, and it's so tragic. It absolutely like just it's like sticking in my throat as I was reading it. It kind of even now like flicking back through it from reading it. It's just that, oh man, this is really hard. And some of the questions that the author asks themselves is something you'd never contemplate. But
and it was like saying earlier, it's a window into this person's experience rather than it definitely came across as something that's probably therapeutic for the author. And you know, even though I'm nowhere. I mean, like you say, you're closer to this experience. You know, I'm in no way close to this horrific tragedy that came about them. But it felt me. I felt it, man. I like.
Yeah, it's really harsh.
It broke me a bit at the end. It's so.
We got a lovely comment from Pete Davis, didn't we, about how we spoke about it or how you spoke about it V last week, didn't we? Yeah.
It's the loss, and the author, the creator, seems lost. Because he sort of wonders about like what his kid would be like in the future, and would he do this, would he do that, and he seems to have just completely just been wrecked by this thing, this event. And he says, I can't find the quote, but it's like, am I a father? Can I call myself a father? He sort of troubles himself with that kind of thought.
Yeah.
Because he had a son, but only for literally for hours.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, this, so.
The last page, I will say, I mean, the last page is quite beautiful.
Yeah.
The way the work is finished is very poignant. And yeah,
it's kind of bookmarked by they go to an artist retreat before and after the event, and it sort of frames the middle of what happens in the middle of the story. But very powerful comic. I can only recommend getting it on Comixology. It's well worth it.
It is literally it's only 79p, I think. I think it's a book that more people need to know about. Even though
I need to get this then.
It's a difficult read, because it is so heartfelt. Do you know what I mean? And like, you know, I think it's good.
As we said on the show, like with the stories of people's lives, they're not always going to be fun and laughs. And this is far from. I would recommend not to read this in the guided view. I just feel it works better as a kind of reading. The page is not flicking between the captions. Yeah. You really need to take the whole thing in, as opposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
From purely like, you know, just a visual perspective, it's a lovely looking book. I mean, I love the cover of it. The cover itself is, you know, so simple and just so striking.
Yeah, it's really well done. It feels like a title that'd be found like in Nobro or Avery Press. It's got that kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
It's strange because the artist says like this was the Redux edition where it's got all the content that he wanted in it, and there was a previous version that cut down. But I don't know how you could cut any of this down. Every bit seems so profound and necessary to the comic. And it's not especially long. It's only what do you say, the 12 pages, something like that?
It feels shorter because there are a few splash pages. Yeah,
from including covers, it's 25 pages long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. What's
the title? Just for people who come in.
As before, so behind. In brackets, redo. I commend the sort of bravery of it as well. Like going back to this and just.
Yeah, it's the honesty thing again, isn't it? Putting yourself out there, for a reason, the right reason. Yeah.
I couldn't tell that story if that happened to me.
Yeah,
no way. But massive respect.
I mean, in the synopsis that you will read on like Comixology, which is in the book as well, it is very much to the point. You know, it's not like a glorified synopsis of what you'll find in the book. It is literally. This is what this is. This is why I did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lets you know within the first line. So, you know, if it's worth reading, I think stuff like this, it really is. And I'm going to be seeking out more of Ted's other work as well, because he does like some fantastical and like, stuff as well. So, he does other sort of comics as well. I bought his other book that's on Comixology at the moment. I'm looking forward to reading that.
I did read it.
Sorry. Just to say, I just googled it, and there's quite a big chunk of it on a site called The Nib.
Yeah.
People want to check it out first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is where it first appeared.
Right.
That's right. I remember you saying. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear, I'm so glad you checked this out, Dan, because I think work like this is especially, and it works about the topics we've talked about as well. Everyone's got different sort of. They come at these sort of books and moments and everything from different angles, don't you? It's interesting how books can affect people across the board.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
it just shows the power of comics.
Yeah, it's got an absolute power. And I mean, the creator there who kind of knows what he's doing. He knows the genre, and he uses it to maximum effect.
Yeah,
it's a sterling job.
Yes. And if you want to follow Ted on like Twitter and stuff, at Vinegar Tom. and he says all this machine does is write and draw and make little comics. That's all. That's the sort of creator you want to follow. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Cool, there's so many links in the show notes this week. Oh, classic. But definitely go forth, try some different comics and stuff, and you never know, you know, of all kinds. And if you love this genre of comics, make one. That's what Pete's been telling you all show to make them.
Absolutely. We can do it, anyone can.
Exactly. Much like podcasting, really.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode and the stuff we talked about. If there's anything you want us to talk about in, should we say, post 300? Then let us know.
Yes. Good, yeah.
Let us know about all the things we want to talk about. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @theawesomepod, where there's polls that you can vote on, threads that you can get involved in. Thank you to everyone that got involved on this week's thread. It was amazing. So, you know, can't recommend it again. It was a great thread, Dan. Well done.
Yeah, it was a bit mad, actually. Yeah. I think you posted it, and I said, have you seen it? And you went, bloody hell.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Once again, Dan, how many votes do we have?
69.
Yes.
Nice. I did try... I've asked for suggestions on the next draw-off topic, so check that out in the ACP group. Should have really mentioned that in the shout-out section.
Wow, we'll get to that now, because if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, where we post up the latest episodes and links, etc. And join the community group, Awesome Comics Talk. There's lots of chatter going on there about lots of different topics, always, every day. Everyone gets involved. I occasionally pop on and just read them and stuff. But there's also a drawing thread, Dan, so... Take it away.
Yes. Well, we've got the next drawing thread after the success of the last one. We're asking contributors to come up with ideas for the next drawing project we're going to do. We'll let it run for like three weeks to a month, and then we'll all kind of post them up on the day in question. So your idea, put it in there, and we'll vote on it, and the one with the most votes will do.
Do you know what? I'm just going to throw one out here. Everyone should draw their pet. I know we had like the self-portrait one, didn't we? Well, we have one where just like draw your pet or pets or something,
or
like
an interpretation of your pet,
or like, interpretation of your pet.
My dog's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And a murderer.
Yeah. Add it into the thing, Vince, and we'll stick it in the poll.
Yeah.
I did have a moan in the group about someone's hot take on Batman. Says, just fuck off with that nonsense.
Dan, it's not like you to get upset.
No,
don't.
If Batman's got so much money, why doesn't he give it to the poor?
Fuck off.
Do you know what? That and the fucking comics aren't political. Shut up.
Batman doesn't exist. He doesn't have fictional money to give to fictional poor people. It's no one wants to read the story about that.
Yeah.
Stick your Bitcoin drawings up your ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, it speaks to superheroes in comics anyway, because no matter what they do, it will never be enough.
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
No.
But I tell you what is enough.
Oh,
the
the
website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. You can't get enough on there. There's loads
cha-ching.
Of it. Cha-ching. There's no money. There's no money, monetary value to anything that we put out. Which
I think people would pay us not to put it out, so we're fine.
Yeah. But if you do, please PayPal us. No, but thank you for listening to us with this on awesomecomics.podbean.com. If this was on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, leave a review. Helps get the word out about the show. And we get out to more people. More people discover new creators and new books and all kinds of things. And if you listen to us on other networks like Amazon Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Podknife, what are the networks we on, Tony?
I don't know what you've heard about it. There's a pod network out there. It's about people just eulogising online about how brilliant they are and what the problems in the world are. So I thought I'd add this. If you know anyone, and we all do, who's been involved in domestic violence, then ring the refuge.co.uk on 0800 2000 247. If everyone who decided to be superior online actually did something to help, we might be in a better world. So there you go.
Do you know what?
100%.
I tell you what, it's the first time I'm speechless because he did something good.
Flip the script.
I was like, I was fully prepared to go. And then like, I was like, I can't laugh at that.
I was chatting to a friend of mine who suffered from it, you know what I mean, in the past. And I was thinking, everyone's like going, you know, it's just like, it's a race to say how important you are online these days. But nobody seems to be doing any, quoting anywhere that you can ring.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Refuge is great. 0808-2000-247, 24-hour helpline. There you go.
There you go. There you go.
Can I add to that one time?
Of course, man,
I saw something online about the help me hand signal. Have you seen this?
Oh, right. No.
There's like a little 5-minute film showing if you are in
that kind of situation,
there's a hand signal that you can make, which is you just kind of put your thumb into your hand and then you close your fingers over your thumb, and that says, please help me.
Yeah.
So more people should know about that as well.
Definitely.
But if people go online, you can find it anywhere. Just type help me hand signal or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's all spread that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, spread the important information that people need to know.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoyed this hour and a half or so of comics silliness. Maybe you learned something. Hopefully it's not that you're never going to listen to us again. We don't want you to learn that. Because what's the point?
Listen to us, just don't pay attention to us.
Don't pay attention to us, but always pay attention to the guests. Because
we'll still put the podcast out.
Yeah,
exactly.
We've been shouting to the void for 6 fucking years, so you're not going to stop us any time soon. Oh, dear. We're going to do this until we're dead, aren't we? But where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
NeverIronAnything.co.uk.
Nice.
No, hang on. NeverIronAnything.com. Fucking, I don't even know my own website.
Jesus Christ. How on earth are you going to brand yourself, Tony?
My 179 people that visit every week, how are they going to find it?
Keep your eyes peeled for the old patron.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for the patron. Yeah. Tribute Press. I know that one. It's all right.
Yeah. Well done, Grandad. Do you know what? It's Apple Pie Friday this week.
Is that a sex thing?
Just you wait. Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Which you should. And also, you should join Dan's Patreon. Because the amount of times that Dan Butcher... Like, shut up, I'm talking about you, Dan. I'm talking about you, not to you.
Men are talking, Dan. Men are talking. It's only sunny in Philadelphia. I'm not being sexist. That's a joke.
But in all seriousness, like, Dan, I love that, like, you post up loads of sketches of the things you're working on for the, you know, even if it's just a moment in a Vanguard page. I love seeing that. It's like, regular content.
About the covers. I like that one today. It was there yesterday. It came out about different covers.
Yeah, today, over the years, I've kind of like started working up covers, and then it was like, oh, this don't work, and just knocked it back. But I've kept the kind of rough or where I've got to on it so far.
Yeah.
I posted them out there, and they've never been posted anywhere else. There you go.
So join the Patreon. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. And Pete, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah,
thanks, man. Cheers, Pete.
Thanks for asking, fellas.
We feel like we know you anyway from all the drink and draws, but it's nice to get you on the
definitely.
Show.
Definitely. And just to repeat what we were saying earlier, if there's anybody out there who wants to come on the drink and draw, please do.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it?
We didn't pay him to say that.
No.
But we do owe you all a great deal of thanks. So thank you very much for listening this week. Wherever you are, we hope you're safe, healthy, and doing okay, mentally, physically, and what other ways? I was trying to think, what other ways?
Spiritually,
that's it. There you go. Jesus Christ.
Orally.
Yeah, orally.
Orally.
No, this is where it gets out of hand, isn't it? This is the moment. We were doing so well.
Vince felt the car like slip out underneath for him there.
Yeah, thought it was safe, and there was a small patch of black ice. But no, thank you very much for listening. Go forth, read some comics, some new comics, discover some new comics, try your hand at making some comics if you want to. That's what we've been telling you every day, every moment this episode, or every day. Pete's probably
Rachel Smith's been putting out quarantine comics for this entire thing.
Yes.
Waterbio comics.
Yes. So you should as well. So there you go.
Was it Broken Frontier said it's the best comic?
I know it was the other one. Pipe Dream.
Pipe Dream. So check that out.
Best comic of our generation or something.
Listener out there, if you haven't made a comic yet, we think yours is going to be the best one. So go ahead and make it. And until that, until you start doing that, thank you very much for listening. Read loads of comics. From Dan, Tony, Pete and myself, have a brilliant week. What do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Yes.
There was a little bit of shame in his voice.
Hang on.
Do you think it's ever been rehearsed?
It's a way to do it on the night job, isn't it?
Exactly.
Classic butcher move. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.